Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Boy, where do we begin this week? You know, we had the market plunging, which unfortunately I kind of forecast for you. Hopefully you got out. And I had several readers write me on my thoughts on all that, and I'll share a little bit. I'm not an investment advisor, so this is just good old ranch boy thoughts. And then, of course, we had the Iran deal. We're going to spend a little time on that because, I'll tell you what, when you connect all the dots on that, particularly with the follow-up interviews from SOP John Kerry, this guy is so pathetic. So pathetic. Oh, God. The follow-up interviews from Kerry and then the comments by El Presidente Obama and the rest of it, you know, Hillary taking credit for the deal, which I think is great. Poor Hillary. What a bad week she's had. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Bring to point some things you probably haven't thought about because the talking heads are too busy talking about what's on the surface. What's under the surface is far more important. And what's under the surface, folks, is going to be part of this show, too, because I think, you know, Obama is brilliant. He has a plan for everything. And the plan for everything is to do little things step by step, the nudge factor, as his regulatory czar, Cass Sunstein, often spoke about and wrote about in his book. And I think that I think Barack Obama has a plan for who's really possibly going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. Because Hillary Clinton right now is a puppet on an Obama stick. Or maybe it's a Valerie Jarrett stick. Who knows? And then we're going to talk about Benghazi a little bit, which ties right in, of course, to Pillory. Our friend Hillary the Pillory. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some new economic data, which I want to share with you, which nobody's talking about. Instead, everybody is talking about, oh, the market went up the last 2 days of the week, and it's the first time it's gone up in 3 weeks, and oh, the bear market is over, and life is good, and the sun is shining, and please bring your money to the table and buy all these undervalued stocks, this oversold market. Okay. And then, of course, we have the spectacle of this big blizzard, which started yesterday, Friday, and is pummeling kind of the eastern half of the country. I'm going to bring to light some things that are kind of lost in the reporting. I mean, they're mentioned, but then the reporters go right over it because they're too busy standing out there in their raincoats, you know, with the snow falling around them. So, because no, we don't know what snow is like, you know, so we need to see what snow is like so that their reporting can be complete. And, well, and I'm going to tie the Iran thing in for you to some stuff that you probably haven't heard about. It has been mentioned on some of the stations. It has come out in some of the news reports. But the visa problem that we have, both overstayed visas and the issuance of visas. And I'm going to tell you two things which are going to curl your hair about what Obama has done with these visas, particularly vis-a-vis Iran, and what the Democrats did. Just, it was either yesterday, Friday, or Thursday, what they did in the Senate. You know, the Democratic Party, the Progressive Party, the Communist Party, who are so concerned, along with El Presidente and Tehran, Iran-born Valerie Jarrett, they're so concerned with your safety, you know. And so is Hillary. Hillary's very concerned with your safety, too, which, of course, is why she put all our black ops undercover folks at risk with her email stuff. I'm going to tell you what I think about that. And not about that relative to what she's done and the lies she's done. I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? Unless you were a dyed-in-the-wool Hillary drinking the Kool-Aid fan. But there's something much more sinister at play, because these people don't do anything without a reason. And there was a reason she had a private server, and there was a reason that those SAP documents, above top secret documents, which talked about our human resources out there, our undercover, very delicate, need to know only, like 12 pairs of eyes in the whole government authorized to see people out there. Yeah. There was a reason. I'll tell you my hypothesis. And I think when I tell you, I think it'll all click, and I bet you agree with me. Okay, so, you know, let's get started. Oh, my producers asked me about gun control. You know, I don't think we're going to have... I got in big trouble last week from all the stations going like 9 minutes over, which actually is a long time to go over on a show. And I guess some stations actually cut it off. Any of you who did not hear the last 9 minutes of the show because you're AM listeners, just, you know, go to the website, www.ontherightsideradio.com. You can listen to the last 9 minutes of the show, or 7 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever might have been cut off by the particular station. Because I did do a pretty good wrap-up on that show. And I would suggest you listen to it. Because I had a bunch of economic stats in there that simply you will not get anywhere else, particularly all in one place. And they will make your eyes cross, and you'll see why I think what I think relative to our economy and the wall that we are up against, unfortunately. And I might add, intentionally, on the part of our illustrious quote-unquote leaders. All right, let's get started. So, we have the Iran deal. I mean, you know all the basics, right? Iran can go ahead and build a bomb, and there's 24-day notice, which they can protest, so it's really like no notice at all, and it can drag on for months and months, and it has to go back to the Security Council, and Russia can block it, and on inspections, and there's no American inspectors, and they can choose the inspectors, and they actually, this is unbelievable, but it's true, they actually inspect their own most sensitive facilities, and then report back to us. Oh, yes, we've inspected ourselves and we're in compliance. And, of course, there is no limitation, we have come to find out, on their testing of ballistic missiles, which, by the way, would have been one fail-safe had the people in charge of this mess been more concerned with the safety of America than with their Muslim brethren succeeding in establishing a worldwide caliphate, which I think is really what's going on. I know some of you are rolling your eyes. Look, I'm going to digress for just a second from our friends in Iran. And I'm going to ask you a question here. And I think anybody, and you don't have to be a four-star general to figure this out, right? What do you need... What does a force who's an enemy of another force need to win the contest, need to win the war, need to win the struggle? They need material. Would we all agree on that? Right? Material being supplies and uniforms and clothing and bullets and guns and tanks and ammunition and all that kind of good stuff. Right? Vehicles to transport it all, to supply the troops, establish the supply lines. They need material. They need money. Because money, of course, buys material. Money pays the soldiers. Money greases the skids. Money buys undercover operatives and information and intelligence. And then, of course, they need personnel, right? You have to have somebody to be in the uniforms and carry the guns and be on the front lines and fight. And then, of course, all the support staff behind them, and then your command and control people. And speaking of which, you need commanders. You need the generals and the colonels and, you know, whatever I'm using our military parlance, but whatever they want to call themselves, you know, the full turbans, the half turbans, the full beards, the half beard. I don't know. But the bottom line is you need leaders. You need a chain of command, or a military operation will not function, period. And you need a safe harbor. You need some place where that command and control center can set up and direct operations, either close or far-flung, and direct and control the materials and the logistics and the money and all the other things. Okay, it comes down to command. And you need, of course, if you have a safe harbor for your command and control, you need a headquarters where you can, or a series of headquarters where you can put your desks and your typewriters and your computers and all that stuff that it takes to wage a war. And understand this, ISIS, which has now grown to over 10,000 men in Libya, a branch operation, is now in 20 countries around the world, particularly Asia, Africa, and of course the Middle East. We're not even talking about their infiltrators in Europe and the United States. We're talking about where they have operational ground forces. This is an army. This is not a JV team, Barry. This is not, what did he call them in the State of the Union speech? You really got to listen to my show last week. What did he call them in the State of the Union speech? Oh, yeah, that's right. The twisted souls plotting in apartments and hotel rooms and, you know, guys with guns bumping around in the back of pickup trucks. Well, you know, they may have operatives throughout the United States, Europe, and other Western countries plotting in hotel rooms. And they may have tens of thousands of people bumping around pickup trucks with guns. But they also have them bumping around in our tanks and our Humvees and our MRACs, which have fallen into their hands. So let me tie all these dots together for you. If you agree that that is what a fighting force, you can call it a military force, you can call it an insurgency, you can call it what Barack Obama secretly calls it, which is the freedom fighters, you know, fighting against us nasty colonial powers, America, Israel, and Europe. You must have those elements, period. Or you don't have a fighting force. Or at the best, you don't have an effective fighting force. And I think we will all agree that we don't have any lion eyes, and our ears are just fine, and our brains are functioning, and no matter what BS this president and his henchmen and the Muslim Brotherhood that he has peopled the various agencies, departments, security services, and White House with, and CARE, etc., whatever they tell us, we can believe what we see and what we hear. And what we see and what we hear is that ISIS and their affiliates are a very effective fighting force, which means they have all those elements. Now, why do they have those elements? Number one, Barry didn't take them out when they were weak and didn't have all the elements, even though he had the intelligence two plus years ago, and they were out in the open on the Iraqi-Syria border before they went into Iraq. Number two, Barry made the decision through his National Security Council and Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes and the other disgusting bunch of traitors he made the decision to lie to us about his bombing campaign, yet we find out that only 25% of the sorties actually drop ordnance, that we give advance warning to the targets, that we purposely bomb empty buildings, and that we will not bomb anything if there's even a smidgen, to use his word, a smidgen of chance there might be collateral damage. And that includes when the Iraqi army, for instance, broke and ran when ISIS attacked them in Mosul and left behind literally tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars in American armament. We're talking about state-of-the-art Abrams tanks, MRACs, half-tracks, you know, howitzer, you name it. All the materials, state-of-the-art, first-class American materials. Did Barry go in and bomb that stuff? I mean, they knew that they knew the Iraqi army was in retreat. They knew the Iraqi army had left this stuff literally parked in rows in military compounds. How difficult would it have been to get a squadron of fighters over there, fighter bombers, to take that stuff out? How difficult would that have been? It would have been difficult at all, folks. We could have destroyed those materials before they ever fell in the hands of ISIS, or before ISIS could get them out of the parking lots where they were neatly parked in rows by the Iraqi army. And then, of course, we have personnel. Now, when you drop leaflets to guys saying we're about to bomb you and they leave, you don't get to kill them. That means they live to fight another day. And the recruitment, you know, we have recruiting stations like in shopping centers when they're not being attacked, of course, by Muslim extremists and being called workplace violence. But they have the internet. You're telling me the American government is not able to interdict, distort, twist, counteract, and counterbalance their very successful recruitment over the internet? And by the way, it's estimated 30,000 foreign fighters, never mind their recruitment there on the ground in the Mideast and Asia and Africa. I mean, I want you to realize we're probably facing a force now, although it may be scattered over a number of countries, of 100 to 150,000 armed, trained, partially trained men, equipped with state-of-the-art American materials, and extremely well-financed through a number of ways. I mean, from selling body parts, from captives, oh yes, that's what they do, to, and I think I ran an article on that 3 or 4 weeks ago for you Downing Thomases, to capturing Christian and Yazidi women and then selling them and reselling them as in the sexual slave trade. Gee, we don't hear Hillary talking about it. Hillary, there's some women out there that need you. You know, all those gals you left defenseless in Libya. Oh, yeah, that's where Benghazi is. We'll talk about that in a minute. And what did we do? Where does most of their money come from? Oil. The oil fields. Particularly the Iraqi oil fields. Yet we don't bomb them, and we're giving the excuse that to bomb them would cause environmental damage. Huh. But I guess 150,000 Muslim extremists running rampant over 20 countries and wrecking Christian artifacts and 1,400-year-old monasteries like they did this week and all the rest of the stuff that goes along with it, I guess that's environmentally sound. I mean, please. You know, I'm really at the point where it takes a lot to amaze me at how stupid they think we are. But that one amazed me. And then, of course, we find out that we had all the intelligence probably gathered from undercover operatives who didn't get killed when the Chinese and Russians read those more secret than top secret emails on Hillary's server. We found out that we had all the intelligence on where all their headquarters, staff, buildings, layout, you name it. Their entire command and control infrastructure, particularly in Raqqa, Syria. We had it for a year and never acted on it. In fact, it wasn't acted on until the French got really pissed off after the terror attack in Paris. In December, we gave them the information. The French went in and bombed them. But for a year, we took no steps, even though we knew where they were and how they were set up. Now, folks, if you take all these acts and lack of acts, and then, of course, you have the rules of engagement, you know, with not only the Air Force, in terms of being able to drop ordnance on targets, but also with ground troops. You know, our ground troops, the rules of engagement, which, of course, they don't want to share with us, and I guess rightfully so, because you don't want the enemy to know just how screwed up we are. But the rules of engagement are literally, and I have talked to friends who are over there or who have been over there, are literally, you can't pull the trigger even if you're under attack or the threat of hostile action is imminent without getting an okay from a superior officer several hundred miles away. Now, those of you who have not been in a ground action like that, let me just assure you that there really isn't 30 seconds or 60 seconds to crank up the radio, call back to some colonel who's having a cup of coffee, explain the situation to him, and ask him if he can pull the trigger. It doesn't work that way. Now, the rules of engagement could be changed in a heartbeat with a memo. Instead of micromanaged, purposely ineffectively, and purposely, in my opinion, at the risk of our troops, and absolutely purposefully to make sure we don't win. Micromanaged by Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes, thousands of miles away in the White House, who aren't really watching the deal anyway because they're too busy concocting the next lie like the video to tell us about. If you take all these acts and lack of acts, can you really, seriously, even you liberals out there who listen to me, look in the mirror, go down each of those points, go down the acts or lack of acts this administration has forced upon its military in dealing with these situations, and I want you to tell me if we are intentionally throwing this war, or we are out to win it. Please, look in the mirror, you libs that listen to me. Review what I just said in your mind, and then tell yourself, oh yes, we're doing all we can, and we're out to win. Yeah. Well, if you can do that, then, you know, you should apply for a job in the White House, because you're exactly the kind of person that staffs that sorry excuse for a presidential palace under this administration. Because just the opposite, obviously, is true. We are not out to win. It's intentional. And that ties into Iran. Because nobody in their right mind, after 50 years of history with this country, after reading the books, I mean, they've written books. The Ayatollah, and I always mispronounce his name, Roshani, the so-called new moderate president. I mean, moderate? I mean, this is like comparing, Freddy the Chainsaw Murderer to Jack the Ripper, and saying Freddy is moderate because he uses a chainsaw. This guy wrote a book on how he was going to screw the West, how he had screwed the West and former, and here we are. It's all in writing. They gave us the blueprint. It's like Hitler writing Mein Kampf. These people tell you what they're going to do. Obama wrote Dreams from My Father. Read it. He told you what he was going to do. He told you what he believes. Unbelievable. So, when somebody says, when somebody punches you 10 times and then looks you in the eye and says, I'm going to punch you even harder the 11th time and here comes my fist, and you don't believe him, you have a problem. You also have a broken nose or worse. But, you can't deny reality, but some people do. Some people listen to this show do. Everybody who supports Barack Obama still does. Everybody who still supports that lying, corrupt, devious, nasty Hillary Clinton pillory does. I mean, what does it take for you to at least wake up? You don't have to agree with me. You may not agree with the actions that I or conservatives or Republicans or libertarians or people who are not on the extreme left or who are not liberal, the moderate left, progressive being extreme, liberal being moderate. You may not agree with, I think you agree with where we want to get to, I hope. We don't want to be fighting these people. We got other things to do. We want to live our lives, raise our kids, have a nice time, be happy, be prosperous, go fishing, go hunting, go skiing, whatever you do. You don't want to be worried about being blown up on a plane, shot in a restaurant, irradiated in a dirty bomb blast in some big city. Have some maniac unleash a vial of biological agents? Get hit with an EMP attack? By a North Korean ballistic missile topped by an Iranian warhead? I mean, you don't want any of that, do you? I mean, you really don't want that. I want you to understand, though, that there are people at the head of our government who do want that. And that may be a blasphemous thing to say, and so politically incorrect. But I'm telling you that they want a crisis like that, because that will help them get done what they want to get done. To put the final nails in the American coffin, or the coffin of American values. Because only people who are otherwise very intelligent, only people who want an outcome would have done this deal with Iran. Only people who would want that type of outcome would consciously, purposefully take the acts or not take the acts that allow the material, the money, the personnel, the command and control, the safe harbor, and the headquarters to continue to exist for ISIS, and then lie to us about what ISIS is and whether or not it's JV and whether or not it's contained. I mean, what does it take, folks, for you to wake up? Please. So this Iranian deal, which basically ensures they will get the bomb, and is further compounded by the fact there's some secret side agreement, which nobody has yet seen, which somehow, in some twisted way, offers guarantees of protection to Iran from an attack by Israel. The last great hope of knocking out their nuclear facilities, since obviously Barack Hussein Obama is not going to do that. What does it take, right? So with typical progressive think, where you nudge everybody into a position, in any way you can, the end justifies the means, thank you, Saul Alinsky, until literally everybody's stuck. They can't go back. That's what happened with the Saran deal. John Kerry, you can Google this up, when all the furor over this deal, when they were signing it 4 or 5 whatever months ago, and I talked about it then, he said, oh, the money can't go to terror, and the money's going to go to infrastructure, and Obama was talking about how it would be jobs for the Iranian. I mean, all the BS. John Kerry, yesterday, is in a news conference and admits right on camera that, yes, some of this money is going to go to fund terror. Matter-of-factly, yep, yeah, that's where it's going to go. You know, he said so-called terror groups, groups that are classified as terror groups, as if somehow the classification of the Revolutionary Guards, Hamas, and Hezbollah is somehow incorrect. And then he has the nerve to double down on how stupid he thinks we are. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing, you got to really listen to it. And he says, oh, but as far as we know, that hasn't happened yet. I mean, we're just hopeful because there's been no move by Iran to do that yet. Yet? They got the money 2 days ago. Well, I guess today is Saturday. 3 days ago. But they haven't funneled the money to the Revolutionary Guard, Hezbollah, Hamas, and who knows who else yet? Really? Wow, John. I mean, what an insult. I guess you don't think we can even do the math between the time they get the money and the time you have your press conference admitting that you lied to us 5 months ago when you signed the agreement. No problem. And then, of course, we have the whole weird thing with the American sailors, which, have you noticed, has dropped off the radar screen? And did you hear that the Iranians took 2 SIN chips? You know, it's kind of like the chips in your phone. It has all your information, all your codes, all your storage, all your phone numbers, etc. They took the chips out of the satellite communications. Wow. Tell me that doesn't have the military scrambling. Who knows what was on those chips? Codes, encryptions? Scary stuff. And you don't think that wasn't orchestrated? Do you know that there's reports, back channel reports, I think I posted an article either last week or this week, that seems to intimate that the Obama administration, that the boats really did have, one of the boats really did have mechanical trouble, and that the Obama administration, rather than send, remember, we have the Fifth Fleet there, right? Helicopters and aircraft carriers and destroyers and all the small ships that all the big ships carry. I mean, it's a task force. It's a battle group. And the Gulf is not that big, folks. The Straits of Hormuz are only 20 miles across. I mean, that's the distance from the ranch house to my upper ranches. In boats that do 40 or 50 knots. Which is about 35 to 40 miles an hour. That means in a half an hour you can be across the straits. But instead, the administration had the Pentagon contact Iran and ask them if they couldn't go out and assist the boats. And then the SIN chip cards are missing. Kind of like all that top secret and even more secret than top secret information that Hillary had. You know, there's a pattern emerging here. Anyway, we're going to get into that in a moment. And then, of course, we had the release of the hostages in return for, and by the way, this gets into your command staff. Remember the discussion we started this show with? So who are we releasing during all this stuff for the 3 months leading up to this? And then literally over the last several days, we're releasing all the Gitmo detainees because Congress doesn't have the cojones to stop this president's lawless action. And the Army evidently doesn't have the cojones to arrest him for treason under Article 28 of the Constitution. So off he goes. Rewarded with lack of action and rewarded with no accountability for everything he does which puts your life and the security of your family at risk. A breach of his obligation and oath of office. Well, look. Things are now coming to light that the hostage deal was tied to additional payments of money over the 150 whatever billion that is being called interest on some arms deal that the United States poo-pooed back then, you know, back in 1979 when all this began, and the Ayatollah, Barry's good buddy, took the American hostages out of the embassy. And Jimmy Carter, who's like a mini-me of Barack Obama, but actually meant well, even though he was terrible. Jimmy Carter couldn't get him back. And so it's being guised as interest on that long-ago arms deal. But it was really additional payments for these hostages. We still didn't get them all back. The one guy who really was an American operative, everybody else was contrived, obviously. The FBI agent, who apparently was working for the CIA while in Iran, we didn't get him back. He's been left to the wolves by the commander-in-chief, who talks to us about no man left behind and tries to justify Bergdahl. The Bergdahl trade, and speaking Arabic in the Rose Garden in front of the press and hugging Bergdahl's father, knowing all the well that Bergdahl was a deserter, and releasing 5 Taliban generals, not enlisted men, generals. So on one hand, he's doing nothing to take any of this stuff out, and on the other hand, he is repopulating their command and control with releases at Gitmo.